This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm good. I'm really good. It's been a wild weekend. I'm exhausted and man, wiped out, but things are great. Yeah, I got my little baby baptized into the church this weekend, so that was kind of fun and man, really special.
Yeah.
Had a lot of family in town for that, and had some of my Baptist friends. They were giving me a hard time. They were like, "Man, that's the fanciest baby dedication I've ever seen," you know. So, but man, yeah, it was great. Had a lot of fun, man. So yeah, but man, wiped out. We just, you know, had family in town all weekend and getting geared up for a big week because we've got an event here in town later this week. But yeah, what's going on with you, man? How are things in Houston, the Bayou City?
They're doing good, man. It's been good. You know, I've mentioned in the last couple episodes we've been working on this play, and I kind of ran into some good news and bad news with that. The bad news is that we had to push things back, but the good news is, instead of doing this kind of closed door showing, we're actually going to try to run it for about a month and a half.
Wow!
So that people will actually be able to come to it and not just a select few. So
no, that's great.
It is. It's interesting because, like, when you change the scheduling, you risk losing like half your cast, if not all your cast. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But
so that's a world I'm just not super familiar with, you know. But it is, man, it's encouraging just to hear that, you know, you're enjoying navigating it, and you know, things are working out. That's cool.
Yeah, I haven't lost my mind yet. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
You can't lose what you don't have, Bo.
That's exactly right. Well, and let me tell you what we do have, and that's some amazing listeners. We've got some amazing supporters. In fact, we now have some amazing new club members that we got to give a shout out to.
Ow, man, right, man. That's great.
First up, Squire level, Kevin Ahem.
Ahem. Kevin Ahem. Man, I guess that's how you say it. M, E-H-M. Yeah, man. Kevin,
yeah.
Dude, you
Kevin
have a short, interesting last name, dude. That's great. Yeah.
See, I love this because, like, we've got two new Squire members. The first one is Kevin, and I feel like his last name is just set up for me just to go Ahem. But yeah, E-H-M, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. The next one I feel like is trying
to troll me. At the Squire level, yeah.
At the Squire level. Now, of course, what I mean by this is that everyone knows that when you join the club, you get your name mispronounced. Well, this next person chose to abbreviate their last name, which I can only assume would have been a unique thing to pronunciate. I don't know. I only have a letter, but and I can't even mispronounce it. Chris V joining at the Squire level and
it's
trolling me along
Chris
the way.
V. Chris. Well, and there could be a couple of reasons for this, right, Bo? I mean, Chris might want to remain anonymous.
Have a lot of pipe smoker listeners that like to remain anonymous. This is true. He's probably a pastor.
He's probably some Baptist preacher sitting in the
exactly.
woods somewhere. He's like, man, they'll run me out of town if they find me associated with these fools.
Right.
No, you know, so you never know, but he may have some goofy last name that he doesn't want to put you through the excruciating effort to pronounce. But regardless, we're thankful for Chris, man.
All right. Well, yes, absolutely we are. And thank you so much for joining at the Squire level. And then also, man, at the Pilgrim level, we got joining Robert Wilkerson.
Wilkersoni, yeah. Robert Wilkerson, man, joining at the Pilgrim level. That is wonderful, dude. Thank you so much. And hopping on board, man, making this show possible.
See, at least that gives me something to work with right there. I mean, obviously, I know how to say Wilkerson, but they give me something to work with. That's what's important. Aside from, you know, supporting the show, which we would not be able to do this show without you guys. So thank y'all so much.
Man, that's right. The Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, you can join at patreon.com/Country Squire Radio. And we are so grateful for everyone there that supported us. And, man, some cool member benefits. And we'd love to have you on board.
Shout out to the lounge too. I just got done wearing my bouncer's cap and getting everybody in. I hope if you still did not get in, but you are in fact a club member, let me know. I know that, look, there's a lot of y'all that will that y'all get to the door and you're like, oh man, you know, I'm not a club member, but I've been listening forever. And don't get me wrong, we greatly appreciate you've been listening forever, and we
absolutely
hope you continue to listen forever. But this is specifically something that benefits those who are being able to financially support the show, because honestly, you would not be able to listen forever if not for their support. And so we really want to make sure that we're upping them big time. But anyway, so I always feel bad when turning folks away at the door. I'm not a good right. bouncer, man. That's why it takes You're me 3 months to get everybody in.
I was about to say, they really need to find someone more or less codependent to be the gatekeeper.
That's right. Well, not you then.
no offense to any of our listeners that might be named Guido, but we really need a guy named Guido, you know, just a burly Facebook, you know, personality that just really, can get in people's face.
Exactly.
That doesn't really sound like a country squire kind of person, but I don't know. We can, maybe we can stretch.
yeah, that'll be good. Well, hey, man, we've got a great episode. Planned for this week. You know, we are coming up on the old holiday season. We got some fun things in the works as we get closer to the end of the year here. But man, I think this is really good. This is going to be a good primer as we go into the holiday season.
Yeah.
In many respects, you could almost kind of consider this a pipe smoking 101, except for the fact that because I do feel like no matter who you are, this is going to be applicable, whether or not you are a pipe smoker yourself, whether or not you have a pipe smoker in your life and you are not one or you are one.
Yep.
We're going to be addressing those concerns that are probably top of mind for you as we talk about the do's and don'ts of buying a tobacco as a gift or buying a tobacco related gift for that person of pipe enthusiasm in your life.
That special pipe smoker in your life, yeah.
Exactly.
Man, no, that's exactly right, Bo. I thought this would be a fun, thing to chat about. I was actually approached about this particular episode topic, and I thought it was great. It's incredibly timely because we are getting ready. Most of us, you know, I think if you're anything like me, haven't done really any kind of Christmas shopping or planning yet. And so we're, you know, looking, you know, thinking in our mind like, okay, well, when I do that, which will probably be like the day before Christmas, I need to be thinking about these things or, oh, I think this would be good for that person. You know, you start kind of plotting it out in your mind. I was approached by, I'm in a group called the Reformed Pipe and Cigar Lounge, which, Bo, I think you actually might be in as well. And
begrudgingly sometimes, but I probably shouldn't.
No, it's fun. It's one of the tamer, so Reformed, there's a group of Reformed Christians that are online, and they kind of, you know, just talk about pipe smoking and cigars, and their interest in that, but also occasionally pepper in theology and things of that nature. And so I happen to be a member of that group, and there it was approached by Chris Seha, who's kind of quarterbacking their attempt to do a secret Santa kind of gift swap this year. And man, just really cool. You know, he was like, you know, we've got this going on, but a lot of times folks don't really know what to look for. Maybe they're looking outside of their wheelhouse as far as they get a pipe smoker in their life that really likes Virginia tobaccos, and they don't smoke Virginia tobacco. They don't even know what that means. You know, and so how do you give some tips to people that are looking for something that they might not be that familiar with? And also, like you said, you've got those people that are buying for pipe smokers that maybe aren't pipe smokers themselves or don't, you know, aren't familiar with it at all. So this is just kind of our, effort to, give you some do's and don'ts again for that buying guide and that type of thing. So, it can be difficult buying for someone's tastes that are different from yours. If you are a pipe smoker, it can be hard. And you're often tempted to find something that is similar to what you like, right? It's like, man, this would be a really great gift if I received it. Obviously, it's something that they would want to receive too. Well, you know, not necessarily. It's kind of like when you buy, your wife a set of pots and pans for Christmas or something, and you know, you're like, well, I mean, I would want that, but you might be kind of communicating like, I really just want you to cook, you know.
Right, sure.
So it's one of those things where you have to you just have to kind of be mindful, try to figure out as much as you like of what that person enjoys, and then try to figure out as much as you can about what that person enjoys, and set your own prejudices aside. You know, you don't know where to start sometimes when you're kind of looking outside of your wheelhouse. So, you have to be thoughtful when you, are going for different tastes. So just some things to think about here. Number one is to be brand conscious when you're buying a pipe tobacco for another pipe smoker, or you know, for a pipe smoker. Be brand conscious. Some brands have a better reputation than others. You know, they're we've got a strata of brands, right? And so, well, that doesn't help me a lot because maybe I don't know about pipe tobacco brands or something of that nature. But you know, if you have been in the pipe smoking world for a while, you know who we're talking about, right? Like, you know, those are kind of relatively obvious. I mean, we've got you know, well-known names like Cornell and Deal, Peterson, Mac Baron, Sutliff, GLPs. These are kind of the, you know, the Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, you know, of the pipe smoking world, right? You know that whatever you get from them, with them, they're going to be quality products. There is going to be some thought, you know, put into the products. They have broad appeal. You know, they're easily, readily available and that type of thing. And so, you know, if you're a smoker, you know, that wants to buy a safe bet for someone, those are some good brands to start with. If you're a if you're buying for someone that is a new pipe smoker, maybe they're a new pipe smoker and you're kind of looking for something fun to buy for them, any of those brands would be a good place to go, because it would expose that new pipe smoker to you know, some of the most popular lines that are out there. Correct?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that makes sense, right? It's like, if it's a new pipe smoker, well, you want them to, you know, try Peterson, Nightcap now, which is now a Peterson brand, or you know, maybe Sutliff Molto Dolce, or you know, the Mac Baron Scottish blend. One of these things. It's you know, those are tobaccos that folks just ought to kind of have in their wheelhouse, or you know, have at least tried. So
it almost like helps you train the palate a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, it's like, you know, not having had a Coca-Cola. Like, well, you know, just right, if you don't right. like soft drinks, you at least need to know what a Coca-Cola tastes like. You know, go drink a Coca-Cola. You know, expect you can expect quality from those brands that are excellent. But let's say you're talking about, you know, someone that that has smoked for a long time. And you know, if you are in a pipe tobacco group, where, you know, maybe it's a bunch of different pipe tobacco enthusiasts that are there, this might be more of that. You know, you may run into this more readily, right? Or more, you know, more often, is where you're buying for someone who's been smoking for, you know, for a really long time. And so if that's the case, you may want to try to find something that's a little more off the beaten path. You know, high quality brands that maybe don't have the name recognition of other brands. And you know, they've been around in some cases a really long time, but they're not the... You know, maybe they're not the Toyota Camry and the Honda Accord. Maybe they're like the Subaru Outback or the Hyundai, you know, whatever their car is.
Accord?
Hyundai. Hyundai. Honda, but yeah. So, you know,
I thought that's just how we said it down here. My bad.
Yeah. I know, right? You know, so maybe it's one of those brands that, you know, are kind of off the beaten path a little bit. Now, some of these names are more recognizable than others, but you've got folks like Brebbia, Fourth Generation, John Aylesbury, Rainer, James Fox, Solani, Vowen, Wessex. You know, some of these tobacco brands have been around a very long time and are made by some of the world's best tobacco house, you know, blending houses. But you know, maybe they're just not quite as popular as some of the other ones. For whatever reason, they haven't gotten or received the broad appeal that some of the other ones have. And so, you know, you've got other ones too that, you know, aren't as commonly consumed, but it's more of a function of the fact that they're not readily available. You know, we're talking about blends like things like, of course, Esoterica, or anything from the Germain company. Nowadays, Rattray's is really hard to get your hands on. And so those are things as well you might want to think about for the more the pipe smoker that's been around a while. Maybe he's tried most of the products from Mac Baron, or you know, Peter Stokeby, or you know, Cornell and Deal, or Sutliff. So just some thoughts there as far as being brand conscious. You know, there. So number two, you want to be price sensitive. You know, this is true. It's you may have found the most lovely $5 trinket out there, but But in the end, it's still a $5 gift, you know. And, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, receiving something that's nice. Kind of the standard for a premium tin tobacco as far as the MSRP on that tobacco is going to be $10. $10 is kind of the and up is kind of the sweet spot for a premium tin. Now, you know, I say $10. A lot of times you'll find these tins that are sold online for under that. So you're not looking for the sale price. You're looking for the MSRP price. But a safe place to go there is the $10 and up mark for MSRP. You're looking for that little grayed out number that's got a line through it on your favorite tobacco website. But just try to avoid, to be honest, some of the drugstore brands. The goal is to find, something that the smoker is going to like, but maybe not something that you'll necessarily, get at Walgreens. The goal is to find something that, maybe they are likely to enjoy but haven't tried yet, or maybe treat them to something that they wouldn't buy for themselves, right? Mm. That's always key for me. It's like, when I'm buying a gift, Bo, I don't know about you, but I'm always like, what can I gift this person that I know they would not buy for themselves? Like,
exactly,
you know what I mean? To me, that's like really special. Like, because you're tempted, let's say you got $50 and you're buying a gift. Well, you could like buy a whole lot of one thing for $50, but that one thing might be something that, you know, the person you're gifting it to might be more, you know, likely to buy for themselves. But what about that really special thing that might eat up the entire $50? But like, so you're getting less bang for your buck, but it's something that you know that person is really going to appreciate because they probably wouldn't have gone out and bought it for themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they, you know, oh, I really want this, but I can't justify the price. Somebody's like, I really want to get them a gift they really want. Oh, and I can justify this price because that's how much I have set aside to give them a gift.
That's right. Yeah, that's kind of the idea, you know? So I don't know. For me, that just seems to make sense. So again, if it's sold at a drugstore, we're probably not looking for, for those as far as a gift goes. For
I mean, it depends. You know, Cousin Bubba might think that's just like, you know.
We do have listeners that smoke over-the-counter tobaccos. But again, we're trying to do something like a treat here. You know, this is a special occasion. Now, it does depend if, the person that... It does depend if the person that you're buying the gift for, how close they are to their pet hamster. And so if they do have a pet hamster that they're really close to, maybe it's right. Some, you know, they don't have any, significant others or extended family, but, you know, this is a part of their life. Maybe they've willed their estate to this hamster, you know, that they take their hamster for grooming visits to the local vet. This might be the kind of person that you go buy, the gallon jug of Carter Hall for a nickel for. So anyway, just throwing that out there.
Okay. No, I mean, that makes some sense. It is interesting, though, because the price aspect of a gift, there are so very many reasons why you go in to give a gift to someone, right? And so, like, you know, that hamster-grade stuff might make the perfect bad Santa gift.
It might. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you are looking for something that is supposed to be, I guess we're kind of talking about something that's supposed to be like special and a treat and that kind of thing. But yeah. I mean, you know, if you do buy, something, I don't know, maybe what you do is you get, you know, something nice, nicer, and then you kind of throw that Carter Hall on top of there. I don't know, but, for the hamster, you know, I mean, you don't want to leave the hamster out. So
with a little tag that says for the hamster, tiny bow. Yeah. Have you seen those YouTube videos where they'll like make the tiniest little hamster sized portion of like a cake or something and serve it to the hamster? So it's like that with a little tiny pipe.
With a little tiny pipe. That's right. That's right. And hopefully the folks from Carter Hall are not listening today. Number three. Yeah. Do your research. So there's obviously a wealth of knowledge online for pipe smoking. The best for me, even as a tobacconist, someone that would like to think he knows half of what's going on in the premium pipe tobacco world, a resource for me regularly. regularly is a website that most of us know and love and use, and it's just tobaccoreviews.com. It's a great website. You know, it's a stellar resource for new smokers or folks that might smoke cigars but are buying for the pipe smoker. You know, let's say someone really likes a Virginia tobacco. You can literally go to that website and type in Virginia, and it'll bring up, you know, just dozens and perhaps hundreds of different tobaccos that have Virginia in the description. And you can read, you know, if these tobaccos are flavored, how popular they are, what kind of ratings they get, you know, the you know, where they're manufactured and all these kinds of things. So some websites, some retail websites that you may already purchase tobacco from also include bestseller lists. And so maybe you're looking for, you know, a tobacco for that new pipe smoker, and you're like, well, let's find out what's on the bestseller list. What are people smoking so this person can try that? That's a good way, good place to start. And then also, you know, does the tobacco rate well? And then finally, almost fine. Penultimately, I think that's the word for the thing before the final thing. But the packaging as well. So let's be honest. Like, some tobacco is prettier than others, right?
I mean, wait. Do you mean the tobacco itself? Or are you talking about the packaging?
I'm talking about the packaging. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
You know, there's a reason that, you know, the real fancy cigars come in the really elaborate boxes, you know, and there's a reason that, you know, if you have gotten your hands on Esoterica before, I mean, what, you know, Esoterica, it comes in this incredibly gorgeous, silky gold, you know, aluminum. I mean, it's so pretty, right? It's like, man, this packaging, half of it is just that you're buying this gorgeous gold packet, gold leaf covered thing, right? It's like, you know, the code for Esoterica is like, oh, go to the Country Squire, they've got the gold, or go to Smoking Pipes, they've got the gold, you know? And so, you know, packaging is important. When someone opens up that thing, they want to find something that's attractive. And so, you know, maybe we might you know, avoid the types of tobaccos that are in the little, you know, cellophane pouch that's folded over, you know, and that type of thing. I don't know. It just depends. But, you know, use your own judgment. But, you know, try to find something that is attractive. So
try to find something that's attractive.
Well, yeah, to look at, right? I mean, say it's got...
You want that wow effect. You want that presentation, the box opens up, and the glittering of the gold, or even, you know, you look at some of the tens with just this ornate artwork that goes around it and everything. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. That should absolutely be part of the package deal for sure.
I think so. Finally, I'll mention this, and this is for, you know, maybe you're a pipe smoker who has to buy a gift for a cigar smoker. And so we're going to kind of flip this just real
interesting.
Briefly.
Okay.
But, you know, let's say you're in a group and, you know, you've got that one cigar smoker that hangs out with your pipe guys, and he's like, well, I don't really, you know, smoke cigars, but, you know, and maybe you don't have a close relationship with a tobacconist where someone can recommend something. You know, a lot of the same kind of concepts apply if you're buying, you know, a nice gift for a cigar smoker in your life. So, again, you know, a price sensitivity, this is something, you know, in the American market, a good cigar, you know, $8 to $10 is kind of that starting place. You know, the packaging, you're looking at, you know, how's the cigar? Does it have an attractive label and all this kind of stuff? But, you know, a lot of it is going to be that brand consciousness that we talk about with pipe smoking. And so, you know, again, you've got those, you know, Honda Accord, Toyota Camry kind of, you know, brands that are out there. And so if it's a new cigar smoker in your life, you know, you may want to select something from a brand like, I'll just name several that we sell here at the Squire, Rocky Patel, Perdomo, Arturo Fuente, Alec Bradley, Ashton, Drew Estate, Padron, CAO, La Flor Dominicana, Punch, Macanudo, Cohiba. You know, these are brands that, you know, every cigar smoker at some point needs to have tried, right? Like, you know, those are the you know, the Cornell and Deal and the Peterson, you know, tobaccos of the cigar world. I mean, that's just kind of that Mac Baron, you know, that's where that's at. And so it's like, man, at some point you probably should have tried something from those guys. guys. If it's a longtime cigar smoker, you know, similar to the pipe tobacco, you may want to select something from, you know, somewhere that's a little different, maybe a little off the beaten path. And so, you know, those are generally referred to as boutique cigar brands, just like we have kind of boutique, you know, tobacco blenders and things of that nature. Some of these brands include Southern Draw, Warped Cigars, Crowned Heads, Curavari, Roma Craft. You know, these are cigars that, you know, have are incredibly high quality or very interesting, but they're just not the, you know, this is more maybe like the, you know, the Subaru Outback as opposed to the Toyota Camry, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have those mature boutique brands. It's brands that people generally still consider, you know, boutique. Maybe this is more like the GLP's kind of tobacco. It's like, well, they're not, you know, as around as like Mac Baron. They're still boutique, but they're kind of, you know, they've worked their way into that kind of steady, you know, place in the tobacco world. And you've got cigar brands like that too, like Tatawahe, Caldwell, My Father, and the Oscar cigars as well. Anyway, just you know, some thoughts there if you're looking for that cigar smoker in your life and you're a pipe guy. But because a lot of times we do intermingle, we've got that, we might have our group of pipe guys, but then there's that one guy that you're like, well, I don't know what to buy for him, but I imagine he probably wouldn't enjoy you know, pipe tobacco that he's gonna, you know, can't smoke out of his pipe that he doesn't own. So
right,
but well, man, so that's kind of it. Yeah, I hope it's helpful. And, you know, one of those things where, worst case scenario, reach out to someone else that smokes a pipe and say, hey, you know, is this something you would enjoy getting? And I think it'll be a good match for you.
One thing that I want to throw into is seasonal blends, seasonal flavored pipe tobaccos. You know, it's interesting because, like, I remember as a kid, we had this, I think it was like an aunt, like a great aunt, who every single year would give us a giant tub of popcorn. You know those popcorn that's like, they got the three kinds, the cheese kind, the butter kind, and the, yep, and like the caramel.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, mm-hmm, so we would always get this in this giant tub that's like the size of a two-year-old. And on the tin was like this ornate Santa Claus with, like, you know, his bag over the thing and like snowflakes and everything. It was very Christmassy, yeah, right? The problem is we always got it on Christmas. And so, like, for like up until the next like February, we still had this Santa Claus big thing out that we were pulling from. And so it was always this very weird kind of deal where, you know, it kind of taught me at a young age, don't give a seasonal gift on the holiday, because then they're stuck with like prolonging the decoration.
Kind of give it before kind of thing. Yeah.
With most things. But here's the thing with pipe tobacco, it's a little bit different. And as we've talked about in years past and everything, you know, aging tobacco really can yield some really, really amazing kind of flavor profiles and really get kind, yeah, of the best out of it. And so the benefit, like, you know, you almost can kind of set up a routine of finding some different holiday blends or seasonal blends and giving them to that special someone for them to put up to enjoy next year while they're enjoying the blend they got from you last year. So it's, yeah, like, you know, you kind of take away the problem of ever having to figure out what you're going to do year after year after year. You just find something that works and just keep it going.
Just roll with it. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a good point. Yeah, that's great. And it's something that folks get to look forward to. And, you know, you develop a tradition, which I think is fun. So.
Exactly. Well, good deal, yep, man. Traditions are always fun, of course, buying gifts for folks as we enter into the holiday season. It makes a lot of sense. Just like buying a great quality corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's exactly right, man. There is no greater American tradition than a company like Missouri Meerschaum that's been around for 150 years this year. The best corncob pipes in the world. The most, you know, well-known American pipe maker, and now a fantastic, you know, seller of their own tobaccos. And of course, we talked last week and have in the past about the Missouri Meerschaum tobaccos that are just fantastic. And I really encourage folks to try. We're talking, of course, about the Independence Day pipe tobacco, which is a new iteration that they've come out under the same name that they debuted a few years ago. Just a fantastic English aromatic, so tasty. And I encourage you, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, our tobacco talk, check that out, see what you think about it, and try it out. Also, they're incredible new crumble cake tobacco, the Missouri Meerschaum 150th anniversary. And it is just stellar. I cannot tell you how much as a smoker that enjoys a nuanced tobacco with lots of natural flavors, but also those really nice kind of subtle sweet elements that are sometimes added in to make it fun. This is a fantastic tobacco that everyone needs to try. So you can get it yourself at corncobpipe.com. Might be a good thing if you are giving a gift for a pipe smoker in your life to try out. So check it out, Missouri Meerschaum Tobaccos.
Absolutely. And big thanks to the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum who are helping to make this show happen.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in from our boy Commodore. So here is what Commodore had to say. What's up? It's your boy Commodore. I restore and repair estate pipes as a hobby and as a service. Recently, I got in a batch of pipes, and a few pipes had what looked to be like a metal rivet with a hole in the middle. One pipe had a rivet in the bottom of the bowl, one in the side, and another with it and in the top of the shank. They were all different brand pipes, but they seemed to all be some sort of choke for the pipe. Mm-hmm. Is this really what they are? Were they added by the owner, do you think, after buying them, or were they manufactured with them? Please let me know, because I am bamboozled. And this comes from Commodore Perry, which I got to mention, every single time I see Commodore's name, I think of like the 66 Batman film where the penguin went by the name of Commodore Schmidlap. And it just keeps on reminding me of that. So thanks, Commodore.
That's fantastic. No, that's great. It's always good to hear from Commodore Perry, man. So, and longtime listener and supporter of the show. The brands do not come to my mind specifically, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like a old-fashioned, everyone in the 20th century, as pipe smoking was at its peak, they had their own little way or, effort to make the pipe smoke cooler, right? You had your filters that were introduced. You had the Peterson P-Lip. You had the E.A. Carey magic inch pipes that had these kind of holes in the side. And so you had these pipe brands that would have these small little metal outlets with these holes. And it's almost like a little carburetor or something for these pipes. But, it's an opportunity for, hot air and heat to escape. It would make the smoke more airy. It's something that, was occasionally used for a pipe. So it's interesting. You could also see where it might be used as a choke for the pipe. If you are trying to keep it lit or something. But my sense is that these were always used as some kind of mechanism to make the pipe cooler, which generally I think winds up being a gimmick, just to be honest with you. Mm. And that's why you don't see any pipes like that made really anymore. So it's something to think about. But if you are looking at these older pipes and you restore a lot of pipes, because it is a fun hobby, Commodore. I'm with you, man. There's a zen-like place you get if you're behind the buffing wheel kind of getting after some of these beat up old pipes. But if you go through enough of them, you'll find these little rivet looking things, like you said, with some sort of little hole in them. And that's what that is. It's a, opportunity for the heat to escape, to make the smoke cooler. And, generally, I think it doesn't really make much of a difference at all, except put something else on the pipe that you in turn have to clean.
So,
I don't know. The lady that taught me, got me started in this business, Gwen Reeves, precious, may she rest in peace. She always told me, man, she said, if you ever find metal in your pipe, throw it out.
Wow.
I don't know. I just, to each his own. But anyway, it is something that you'll see more in estate pipes. So great point, man. Yeah, I'd love to see some photos of that if you want to tweet those out.
I love this, man. So thanks so much for that pipe question, Commodore. Kind of a pipe question mystery almost, right? Like there's this whole question of Where did the holes come from? You know what I mean? Like, if, as you you know, as someone who restores pipes, especially to the extent that, that you do, Commodore, if you come upon any more mysteries, let us know.
Let
John David become the Sherlock Holmes of the state pipe world.
Snoop it out.
The restoration. That'd be amazing. But again, thank you so much, Commodore, for that pipe question of the week. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it in. Show@CountrySquireRadio. Again, that's show@CountrySquireRadio.com.
Quick fire
with the Squire.
Quick fire
questions. Ow! All right. Here we go, man. We've got some quick fire questions. All right. So, you know, last week we did Star Wars because The Mandalorian came out. And this week, I'm taking a guess here. I don't know that we've discussed this much. I'm sure we did back in the day, but I feel like it needs to be addressed. So this last best week,
are we going into
uncharted territory for you?
I already am thoroughly confused, man. Okay. For listeners, again, to peel the curtain back, like we do quick fire questions week by week. I see the questions the day of when we sit down and get to that point in the show. That's when I see the questions. I'm kind of at a loss here.
Okay. All right. Well, this might be a colossal failure then, but at least we're addressing it going in.
I'm glad you'll have some answers. It'll be fun.
No, all right. So this week, a new Pokemon game came out. Now, listeners, longtime listeners know I'm a Poke fan. I Pokemon Go, when that game came out, I was in the process. I had a Pokemon podcast, a Pokemon Go podcast, which did very well. Became the number one video game podcast in the world, actually, in most of the world, most of the regions. And so I'm a big fan of the Pokemon. In a nostalgic sense, like I played the original game and the sequel game, or I think Ruby or Sapphire, whichever one that one was, and then I outgrew it as you do, as I guess you're supposed to do.
As it were, yeah,
yeah. But since having outgrown it, not only did Pokemon Go restore my nostalgia, I had some kids, and my kids are now old enough to play these games, and so there was a new one that came out this last past week called Pokemon Sword and Shield. And so I put together some quick fire questions in the Pokemon themed quick fire questions. Some of our listeners will love it. Some of our listeners will be as lost as John David, and nothing will make sense for the next few minutes here. Are you ready, John David?
Yeah, I just hope we leave it with enough people not resenting it. That's my only hope.
We'll see what happens.
Fire away, Bo.
All right. This is a 90s question. Now, I know you watched cartoons in the 90s.
I did.
Okay. Pokemon or Digimon?
I don't know what a Digimon is.
How do you not know what a Digimon is?
So I'll go with a Pokemon. I don't. Is that related to those Tamagotchi things that were popular?
Actually, yes. They weren't. It wasn't a direct relation. They were actually a competitor to the Tamagotchi. But there was it was the same type of era. For those that were too young or those that were too old at the time, it was a big deal. Like everybody, they were selling to kids these little digital carrying things with a little like a screen that was like a calculator looking screen. Just the worst graphics, and it had a little an idea of like a dinosaur. You would like take care of it, and you'd have to feed it and clean up after it, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, so it is a lot like that. Tamagotchi. It's a digital thing that you can in turn kill with your irresponsibility.
That's exactly right.
Right, and then because it's a collection of zeros and ones in a crummy looking little plastic thing, you can laugh about it with your friends. Yeah.
Well, so I think Digimon was like Tamagotchi was kind of the lame thing, like the everybody knew what a Tamagotchi was, but Digimon came in to kind of create a kind of a hardcore monster action packed type of experience type deal, or at least that was the idea. But they found themselves in direct competition with Pokemon. So anyway, all that explanation to say that if we're talking cartoon series, Digimon, if we're talking the games, then Pokemon. Okay. All right.
Let's try to suffer through the next couple here.
All right. I'm gonna add a fourth one into this one because this is the choose your starter. And if you don't know who any of these are, I know you'll know at least one of these. Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, or Pikachu.
All right. I was hoping you would add a Pikachu in there because I do know Pikachu. Yeah, I do. I even had friends with like Pikachu, like, you know, stuffed animals, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But so that's really the only one I'm familiar with. Yeah.
All right, there you go. I threw that one in as a safety for you.
You're a kind and gracious friend.
I try. I chose Squirtle. Squirtle was my my starter back in the day. He was a water type. I was a fan of the water type. Still am. Although in Sword and Shield, I chose a grass type, and that's going to lead us to this next one. And it does not have to be Pokemon related. You could just choose Sword or Shield.
Sword or Shield. I'm going to go with Sword. There wouldn't be not really a need for shields if there weren't swords.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'll go with the Sword.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, unless it's Captain America's shield, I'm going to go Sword as well. Because Captain America can make that shield work for him. Like, he basically wields it as if it's a projectile.
I'm a big fan of Captain America. So
I know. I've got you way off the deep end. I'm gonna pull you back here in just a second, I promise. All right, finally, man, this is a deep, deep cut that you're just not gonna get. I forgot my grandson's name. Do you remember what it is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a grandson. As far as I know, you don't have a grandson. You are 35 years old. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm at a loss.
All right, fair enough. All right, so I'll give a brief explanation and then we can move on from this absolute, like, just train wreck of quick fire questions this week. But in the original game, I don't know if it was because of the translation or what, but you of course get to choose your character's name that you're playing as because you want to play as yourself, but you're also given this rival, and the rival is related to the professor who kind of sets you up on your mission, but you're given the option to name your rival. However, narratively speaking, this causes a problem because the professor introduces you to his grandson, but now you have to name his grandson. So the professor, who's supposed to be like the smartest man in the world, has forgotten his grandson's name and asks if you remember what it is. And that's where you enter into his thing.
Wow.
So it's really, the question is, if you could choose the perfect rival, John David, what would the name of said rival be?
Bo York.
Wow. All right. I'll go with John David then.
Followed very closely by Brian
Levine.
His name at least has to be in the conversation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, good one. That was quick fire question this week. Hey, send
Bo,
us a quick fire question.
You're my favorite Squirtle, man. I just want you to know that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do what I can. Hey, y'all, hook us up. This was these last 2 weeks was me, and this is what happens when I come up with quick fire questions. So by all means, please send those in. Quick fire questions to you.
Good ones.
Show at countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback. Speaking of our top rival, Brian Levine, we got a tweet in from him. What did that tweet have to say?
Yeah, man, he says, at my own opinion, time for a little public shaming of Bo before I go to the zoo. There is an Ewok smoking a pipe in episode 6. Also, I've told you about this before. You are still a Padawan. And I noticed he had posted this, I think, in our Squire Lounge, which I thought was funny. But
He posted it everywhere.
Yeah, he did. He did. He wanted, again, public shaming, with drawn and quartered, raking over the coals, all that kind of thing. He made sure you were, legitimately embarrassed by it. And so he's right. There was a Ewok smoking a pipe, and we missed it.
All right, so I forgot
about it.
It is painful for me to say this, but Brian Levine clearly knows more about Star Wars than me. It felt weird saying it. But no, not only did I get a text message that was quickly followed by, while I was typing up the announcement that I messed up, he had already beaten me to the punch on Facebook, on Twitter, on the group, all over the place. So he was ready for that. But here is what I'm prepared to do, John David. And I really probably should have pitched this before the show, but we're on a tight time frame today. Next week, I want to do something kind of a little bit different. I want to do kind of a Heroes of the Bowl focused on the pipe smoking Ewoks, the only people that are pipe smoking in Star Wars. But not just that, because if you actually look at the pipe, it's a wooden stem. Like, it is specifically a wooden stem, which you see a lot in fiction. You don't really see that in practice. So what I'd like to do is actually put together an episode for next week.
Not anymore.
That both pays homage to the Yub-Nub Ewoks of old, as well as kind of dives into the wooden stem itself. So what do you say, John David? Think we can make a show out of that?
I think we can make it happen. I mean, talk about convoluted. Yeah, no, I think it's great. The history of the wooden stem and the modern iterations of that. Yeah, it'll be fun. Why not?
Plus, this will help clarify for me and everybody else who forgets that pipe smoking is, in fact, in Star Wars. As Brian points out, he has pointed that out to me before, and I keep on forgetting. But no more after next week.
Other than Jabba the Hutt, because you did pull that one out.
That's a hookah. But yeah. All right, man. Finally, we've got an iTunes review in from Deputy514. What did Deputy have to say?
Yeah, he says, I'm a newbie pipe smoker and just recently discovered this podcast in early October. Between this podcast and Mutton Chop Piper on YouTube, I have learned a lot of information about pipe smoking. I listen to this podcast while at work. It really helps me pass the time, and I learn something in every episode. Thank you, and keep up the great work. And that's from Deputy514. And man, gracious comment. We're so happy that you are smoking a pipe. Stick with it. Enjoy it. Find some good resources out there. And man, we're glad to be counted among those resources. So, thanks a bunch, man. We're so glad you found us.
Absolutely. And John David, you know, I need to tack this in here at the tail end of the show. I probably should have mentioned it at the front, but I'll mention it at the top of next week. We are getting to that time of year again where we will need to start taking in suggestions for the best of categories for 2019.
Yeah, that's right, man. Coming up really soon. That's always a fun episode where we're talking about the best of in the pipe world, right?
Exactly.
Think tobaccos, pipes, accessories, anything out there that's pipe related. We try to do that towards the end of the year, and it's a lot of fun. So send us your nominations.
Absolutely. So it should be good. What we'll do is I think we'll probably go exclusively through social media this year. So it'll probably be a couple days over the course of a few days. I'll post out the category, and people will be able to kind of respond or comment to that post with their recommendations. And then based off of kind of pooling those recommendations, we'll determine who our finalists are. And then, of course, the winner will be selected and announced at kind of the top of next year. So, anyway, all that to say, we'll have more details next week. But just kind of be thinking about that if you want to kind of comb through the archives to take a look at what came before. Y'all, special thanks again to Buck Buchanan, who is coming on board with the show notes this week. Really excited to have those. Looking forward to, I know that's been an oft-requested feature, and so without him, it would not be made possible. So shout out to Buck for taking that on this week. And man, I think this is good. Kind of a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but it was kind of one of those weeks.
It's a time crunch, you know. Sometimes we have them.
every once in a while we do. Every once in a while we do, and this is definitely one of them. But great information here, and would love to see if you're buying some pipe gifts. I guess you can't really share them to us because you don't want to reveal them. But hey, as you're opening up your packages from I guess Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatever holiday gift you may get, show us what you got. We'd love to see what you end up getting in this year and sharing that all across the old social medias. For example, you can follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio is the show. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man. Well, good deal. Well, go.
I had fun, man. It's great. Yeah, let's go buy some tobacco gifts. I think it'll be good.
It's that time, man. Getting the list.
I want to receive all the tobacco gifts. I don't want to give them. I want to receive them and then smoke them.
I feel very proud that we did kind of acknowledge at the top of the show this is about gift giving, but we didn't specify why you're giving a gift because, as we mentioned before, this is still pre-Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't Black Friday yet. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's true. That's true. So the gift may be for yourself.
Could be for yourself. Could be for a birthday. It is up to you. Anyway, hey, man, let's go have a week.
See you, brother.